what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
We're live here another week of the Tony Sands Show. When I tell you this tonight is going to be beyond measure when it comes to guests and when it comes to topics, it's going to be beyond measure. Last week, you got a chance to hear my main man, Hawk, talk about the NFL and the things that are going on in the NFL. This week, you know what this week is. If you are here in Miami, Florida, in South Florida, and watching college football throughout the nation, you know what week this is. This is the week of the University of Miami, number 7, facing Notre Dame, number 3. You know, there's a lot of things that go behind this game. There's been a lot of wins, a lot of losses by both teams. Notre Dame leads this series. But this game has great implications when it comes to possibly getting in that top floor to play in that playoff to win that national, to get a shot at that national championship. And everybody saying here in South Florida, is the U back? Is the University of Miami back to what we call its dominance? You watch them, a lot of people put them down when it came to them in Virginia Tech. They came in, played Virginia Tech well. Their defense was flying around. They were able to put up points, and they dominated a Virginia Tech team that some said that Miami wouldn't dominate. That Miami wouldn't dominate. Michael Irvin will be joining the show later about 6:20, 6:25, the playmaker. He's landing in Miami. He could not miss the excitement that is going on. When I say the who of who list of players that are returning back, Ray Lewis, Michael Irvin, Warren Sapp, Ed Reed, you name it. These players will be in the building. It will be a star-studded event here in Miami tomorrow night at the Hard Rock Stadium. But we also got some things going on in the basketball world. We got some changes that are happening in the college sports world. There'll be some sad souls at some university. There'll be some happy souls. When I look at the thing with the University of Miami and Georgia, I always tell people both schools got what they wanted. Both schools got what they wanted when it came to this matchup. Miami, number 7 ranked. They're on their way back by their alum, Mark Richt, Kirby Smart at Georgia. Georgia's number 1. So, I think, you know, sometimes we're in a place too long and we wear out our welcome. And I think that's what happened at Miami, at Georgia with Mark Richt. And I think him coming here to the University of Miami, it added life to his lifespan. It added life. Sometimes we can be in a place and all of a sudden it decreases our lifespan, but it added. But let's get into this basketball thing, man, because it is what it is. This thing is still going. The FBI has not let up. As a matter of fact, they're putting the pressure on several guys. There have been indictments handed down, and you know when indictments come, arrest. Without further ado, coming to the Tony Sands Show, my main man that handles the basketball fucking all over the place. He knows basketball in and out, college basketball player. Now he's living in Atlanta. He takes the young guys through and through when it comes to basketball. Welcome to the show, man. Maurice, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, Tony? How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Listen, the show I have tonight, man, is dedicated probably more to the University of Miami, man, because here in South Florida, the excitement is going crazy. They saying, is the U back? Is the U back? And you know when they say the U back, it add revenue to South Florida when it comes to financials to a lot of businesses. So I'm quite sure the business people, game day is here, Maurice, man. But let's jump into this basketball, man. We got to jump into this basketball, jump right in and out.
Okay.
My producer wants to jump in this thing, man. Listen, Marsh, there was indictments handed down. Indictments, Chuck, as I said, Auburn hired, and Auburn had to hire a law firm and an internal revenue program to investigate the immediate aftermath of assistant coach Chuck Pearson's arrest by the FBI in connection to the investigation in college basketball corruption. Pearson was fired after he was indicted on 6 federal charges Tuesday. So now he gets indicted, and several more get that has gotten indicted. So now that puts a scare into Auburn. So Auburn has to hire a firm to understand how deep does this go, or does Chuck Pearson start talking? And
I mean,
they got to find out what he knows. Not only what he knows, but what Coach Pearl knows.
Wow, true.
What Coach Pearl? Yeah, I mean, they got to find out.
Yeah, I mean, like we said before, the coach know everything now. He bring the kids in, they talk, they sit down. Coach, I want this kid. I want the kid out of Alabama. I want the kid out of Georgia. I want the kid out of California.
Yes.
What can we do? They sit down at the drawing table and say, hey, this kid, this is what you got to do to get this kid. And
correct.
It's going to be – I mean, Corporal, you know they lost the other week to Barry, a Division III team. Auburn lost.
Wow.
You know that, right?
Yes.
They lost
to
Barry College, a Division III team in Rome, Georgia. They lost.
Wow.
Auburn lost it. So you know – this season is so hot, Coach Pearl. So they've Auburn looking like, what's going on?
They want to find out. Yes. But not only that, Marsh. Now, but coming to find out, Coach Pearl is refusing to talk to the attorneys that University hired to conduct the investigation. They've been unable to determine if Pearl was involved in this or not. So he's refusing to even talk to the university attorney, with probably fearing that, hey, there's a possibility if he say the wrong thing, this thing
right.
can spin on him. But not only spinning on him, but it's just recently we found out allegations, as we call them, allegations have been put upon Rick Pitino, that Rick Pitino had knowledge of what
right.
was going on, that he had knowledge, and also the University of Miami was added into this whole spin when it comes
to
who knows what and don't know what. And I think once this college basketball season gets off to a start, I got a strange feeling, Marge, that we're going to see some faces leaving some places.
We're
going to get some faces that's going to leave some places. And how does that now go on to affect these kids? These young men, I always have a problem when I hear guys call them kids because they're not, they're young men.
Right,
but how does
right.
this affect them? And I think more so in basketball, it doesn't affect as hard as football because in basketball, you can leave after.
Right.
You can leave after, what is it?
1 year.
A year. You're only there a year. Football, you're stuck
3 years.
Yeah, football, you're stuck. Correct. Football, you're stuck there. If you're red shirt, there's a possibility you can leave in 2. But if you don't red shirt, you got to do 3. So, I mean, this thing is getting a little hairy when it comes to how this thing is going to play out, man. I mean, I'm quite sure I got a strange feeling that the days in Coach Pearl days in Auburn is probably at this point is probably numbered.
Yeah,
I think his days are numbered.
I don't think we're going to make it to the middle of the season. I don't think. I just think it's going to be – there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure trying to win. A lot of pressure to get the kids in.
Yes.
A lot of pressure is going on with Chuck Pearson when that what happens, you know, and this investigation. And just I university got so much money into the program, they don't want to lose their identity. You understand what I'm saying? So they're going
to
have to do something. And it's going to take – you know, it's going to be a clean streak. It's going to take us a couple years to get this thing cleared up because they're going to clear the whole – these basketball programs up and these AAU and Adidas and all this stuff. They're going to clean this stuff up real soon. And it's going to take time, but they're going to weed it out, you know?
And I'm quite sure now, and like you said, what Chuck Pearson's doing, how does this affect people that hasn't been brought up yet because they don't know right at this point what is being said behind closed
right.
door. Not only Chuck Pearson's, but the rest of these guys. That name has been brought up in this indictment and has been indicted. I mean, this thing is getting thick when it comes to basketball, and we are sorry to see that we have come to this state. But there's some good things coming out of basketball. Patrick Ewing, Maurice, has become has gotten a head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice to see that his alma mater thought enough of him, because we very rarely see this, thought enough of him to make him the head basketball coach at his alma mater. How do you do you think he take his experience, put it in with these kids, and you could see a change far as these young men becoming men and possibly not getting so involved in a lot of the corruption that is going on?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, he coached by John Thompson, and his way of upbringing and the struggle that he got to the Georgetown and went to the Knicks and played for the Knicks one team, and he got to start coaching, helping out the Magic, and start moving around to the NBA, and got that experience, you know, and just took that time and learned the game. You know, when you play the game, it's different when you coach it, because now you really see what coach is talking about. You pay the X to the O, the technique, everything that you can see as a player, you see mostly.
Correct.
As, you know, when you coach it, and it's a learning experience, and it takes time. You just can't go out there and coach. You just go out there and run. I'm going to coach for this team. You got to take time, start at youth, and look and study the game and see how the kid carry the ball and how he pump fake and how he dribble to the basket, and how he move his feet and stuff, and how you, you know, the X and the O. You're gonna call a timeout. Simple.
Yes.
You're a jump ball timeout. When you gonna call a timeout? You know, you got to make sure the play, the 30-second timeout, you got to make sure you got to give Mark a play, a quick play that you win in practice, that you can see situations, because situations is something about the game. So Patrick Ewing is going to do a great job. I think he's going to do an excellent job this season, and he's going to bring the program back to the top notch in the Big East.
And listen, you're listening here on the Tony Sands Show with my main man, Maurice Love. He is my basketball expert when it comes to basketball. Mo, we got to keep on breaking down this thing, man. As this thing unfolds, we got to continue to break this thing down, dig into it, let my listeners know, because we are getting ready to roll into what we call basketball season across the nation. But, man, listen, it was nice having you here on the show. I got to roll, and I got to get into this Max Payne. We're talking University of Miami, man.
All right. It is
going crazy down here. It is you,
Fever.
Man, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're finna play my main man, Max Payne, as he released the new You song here on the Tony Sands Show.
Can it run? Can it catch? Can it throw? Are they you ready? Do it got quick feet? Can it move? Can it go? Are they you ready? Can it run? Can it catch? Can it throw?
Back here live on the Tony Sands Show. This is a U weekend when it comes to college football, because the University of Miami and Notre Dame are facing off, and as they used to call this game, Catholics versus convicts. That took legs on the University of Notre Dame campus and went beyond measures. It went beyond measures, and some young fellas got in trouble when it came to that. They did the 30 for 30 with it, but listen, it's time to jump into that when it comes to college. My college expert is always on point. He knows more than anybody on the circuit, and that's why, guess what? He is my right-hand man when it comes to college football. We are like Batman and Robin when it comes to this thing. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, my main man, Ryan Bartow. Ryan, what's going on out there, man?
Doing great, buddy. How's everything going on your end? I'm looking forward to hanging out with you guys before the Catholics convicts game tomorrow night.
I'm telling you, man, listen, South Florida is jumping with excitement. It's so crazy that you took a 8,000 mile journey, and it brought you back. It brought you back to South Florida the weekend of Notre Dame and Miami. Did you plan that? Did you see it coming out that? Or it just happened by fate? This happens.
I had two close friends, Kelly and Scotty, that come to a game every year, and they're like, your butt better be back by the time we get into town. And I'm like, so I made my last stop at USF on Monday, and it wound up being a once-in-a-lifetime 43-day, 21 major college program, unbelievable access. And the mileage on the rental car was 9,821 miles when I turned that sucker in on Tuesday to the Hertz rental car in Fort Lauderdale.
I know Hertz probably said, man, what the heck are you doing when it comes
to
ideas?
And then I told them their story. I told them my story, and I had them all eaten out of the palm of my hand. They're like, that's unbelievable. They're like, we wish we could do that.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, to take a journey like that and go on the road like that, and then you come back and you still hyped. But while you took that journey, we know you got the scoop, and that's why we've been to break it down around you. Listen, man, there's going to be a lot of coaching changes taking place throughout college football in the next couple of weeks, man. And let's dig into it, because my listeners want to dig into it. They want to know, do they school possibly lose the coach, or do they get a coach that is quality? When I say quality, I always say I look at Georgia and I look at Miami. Both schools got what it needed to get their programs back to supreme echelons of winning. Georgia's number one, Miami's number seven. But let's get into this thing. Here we are in November, man. Let's jump into this thing with Arkansas. Let's jump into Arkansas. And how do you see Arkansas' job playing out, and what do you see? Is there any names that you're hearing that might be connected to this Arkansas job if it opens up?
Right. Now, Bielma has an $18 million buyout, but he's in year five. If they would have lost to Coastal Carolina last week, which they almost did, unbelievably, he might not be there right now. So, obviously, they have LSU tomorrow. That's going to be an extreme challenge for them. And usually these coaches get, if they're lucky, 5 years nowadays, and he's got five. And so that with the board of trustees there, that thing is about to open. And the AD, I don't think there's a lot of confidence in him making the next call either. So the names I'm hearing for that, if it does open, which we think it will, would be Gus Malzahn coming home, actually leaving a better job at Auburn. But all his ties are in the state of Arkansas, kind of a dream job for him. So he's a possibility for that, as well as Mike Norvell, who's a Central Arkansas grad and has done a great job at Memphis. I mean, he could have Memphis 11-1, offensive guy. They're obviously, when you see coaching changes, they usually want something different. Like, Bielma was a defensive guy, so they're probably going to look towards an offensive guy this time around. And Norvell, Malzahn, Chad Morris, who's done a great job at SMU and has all those ties in the state of Texas, those are guys to look for the potential next guy for the Hogs.
But let's look at, because I brought up Nebraska, to look at Nebraska. When I look at Nebraska, you think of national championship every time. You're thinking of a program that is supreme. But going into the Big Ten, that's not been Nebraska looked for when it came to moving from the Big 8, the Big 12, to the Big 10. It's not been a fairy tale for them, and really pretty much has happened to where at one point they had one coach for several decades. Now they're possibly going to go through here another coaching change, possibly, depending on how, if they drop these final games, what may happen to the University of Nebraska, and what are some of the names you are hearing that could be tied to Nebraska?
Right, and if they lose to Iowa, who dropped 55 last weekend on Ohio State, that would mean Nebraska would lose five home games in one season, which is unheard of. They're lucky if they, back in the day, they had some of the best home winning streaks ever. So Mike Riley, who's a great guy, obviously they fired their AD when they lost to Northern Illinois. You don't fire your AD right after you lose a football game.
I'm telling
you. Knowing that that's on deck. So all their chips are in to go get, one of their own, Scott Frost, played there, close with Dr. Tom Osborne. I couldn't fathom, if they don't get him, how that fan base and that message board could handle that, because he's
correct,
obviously by far their number one guy. I don't even know. I mean, do you Do you go to Stanford's OC, Mike Bloomgren? Do you go to Chad Morris? Where, I don't even know what plan B is. That's how much all in they are for Frost there. Right, and then you see the AD has even made publicly over the top great comments about them. So I think the writing is on the wall there. But Scott, I mean, he could potentially have options with Florida, with Tennessee. Or maybe he's like, you know what, if UCF ponies up, I can stay here and keep building this program, and this program could be in the Big 12 in a couple of years. And I'm telling you, this UCF program is a gold mine. They are set up to be really good for the next foreseeable future there, given the location and the facilities. So it's good to be it's good to be Scott Frost these days, I tell you that much.
And I'm gonna tell you this now. Let's look at when we look at UCLA, and then not only Florida, but you know, Florida is now looking possibly at Charlie Strong. And then you read that, guess what? University of South Florida is building a $40 million facility. Is that trying to keep Charlie Strong at USF, or does he jump ship and go to the job that he wanted all along? Do they come back and correct a wrong and make it a right?
When I was there Monday, he had not been contacted yet by Florida. So I think that was a misreport. I think they, you know, when that report came out, him, Bob Stoops, which I think will eventually get back into it. I don't know if that'll be with the Chicago Bears or Notre Dame or the Gators or whoever, but Bob Stoops has already turned down Florida three or four times before. I think having been at USF on Monday too, they need facility upgrades. And when they see their number one rival, UCF, not only having the success they are, but having all those great facilities, that was overdue. I think that's something they need to do regardless of who their coach is.
Now,
and it's a long time in the coming for that. So for the Gators, I'm more thinking Dan Mullen, who's former AD at Mississippi State, is now the AD at Florida. He's a proven SEC coach. He's a proven offensive guy. He's a former coordinator at Florida. Has a great track record in developing quarterbacks. That's the one. I wouldn't expect Florida for that to get past Mullen or Frost. If it does, then you call up a Willie Taggart. Oregon, a former Florida guy, and that would be an offer and commit scenario, because if you told Willie Taggart, hey, you can be the Gators coach, he'd be there by midnight.
Brian, let's get into it now. You also been on the high school circuit. You went to some games. I went to some games. You went and watched one of UM's prize jewel for this year's recruiting class, the receiver. Give us my UM listeners a little insight on what this guy potentially brings to the University of Miami once he steps on campus.
Mark Pope is not only the best wide receiver in South Florida and the state of Florida, I think he's the best wide receiver prospect in the country, and I've seen them all. We're talking about a guy that's 6'1", that runs a 4.4 every time, really acrobatic, just comes natural, plays for the best 7-on-7 outfit in the country with Coach Dennis for the Florida Fire, who have recently produced Calvin Ridley and Jerry Jeudy. This kid is just like him. He's got dog to him. He's got toughness. He will be an instant impact guy for Miami, just like Amon Richards was. And he's got that kind of ability to only be at Miami for 3 years. He's that special. Today, when I watched him in the playoffs, he had two carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. He had two catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. He had a punt return for 50 yards. Very explosive. And he's a five-star guy. And he will help Miami right away and help them a ton the next 3 years.
And we can see that Mark Rick is bringing the excitement back to the University of Miami. Ryan, man, thanks for joining the Tony Sands Show. I got to go to a quick commercial break. And then guess what? I'm bringing the playmaker on himself, three-time Super Bowl champion, Mr. Hall of Famer. I'm going to let my guests get a treat of when I bring him back with this two-minute commercial break, and we're coming back. Doug, go ahead and play that. Ryan, hit you up, and I'll see you tomorrow, man. Out at the, Pro Players. Not Pro Player anymore, but what?
At the Hard Rock Stadium. I'll see both of you guys tomorrow, and a little alley-oop from Bardo to the playmaker. How about that?
There you go. Take it easy, my brother.
Take care, buddy.
Greatness. You go to Miami, nobody likes you.
The U holds up, man. It's here. It's here. It's something special.
Everybody wants to be like us because they know how much work we put in.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. What he said.
Y'all already know what time it is. As you heard Trick Daddy say, y'all already know what time it is. It's that time of the hour here on the Tony Sands Show. Listen. When it comes to motivating, when it comes to driving, when it comes to success, the University of Miami call on this guy when they want to get their fans and their players riled up. Three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, joining the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Playmaker himself, Mr. Michael Irvin. What's going on, Mike, man? What's happening?
T.R., the journey that I am on right now, you know, coming out of Arizona and getting all the way to Florida. You know, I was on a plane because they only, I don't know why, they only have so many flights from Arizona to Miami, direct flight. And they were all booked up. I guess everybody's coming for the game. So I had to come through Orlando.
We're having, Michael Irvin has just landed in Miami, Florida. So we probably, he's at the airport, and you know how it is coming in and out of the airport. And listen, man, Mike is motivated to get my listeners motivated. So, hey, listen, we're going to stay with them on this, man, because he got some things that we want to share with my listeners. So we're going to keep on going at you. Here, Chance, here, Ryan. And once we get back to him, Doug, see, can we hang up with him and call and try calling him back? Is he still on the line? He's in and out of airport. Playmaker is traveling from one end of the country to the next to get here to South Florida to be with his player, be with the players, to be with his fan. And also he's going to get a chance to see his young son play at the University of Miami in this game as big as it is. You can't ask for a bigger stage for a young man to be on when it comes to this game. It is a huge stage to be on. You heard my main man, Ryan Bartow, tell you just what it is bringing. You get the number one recruit to play at the University of Miami. And if you want to call in to talk to the playmaker, you can call him. Once we get him back, you can call him at 888-429-5421. That's 888-429-5421 here, 5471 here on the Tony Sands Show, because the playmaker himself, we're trying to reach him. He's in that airport, man. It's been a journey for him, as he told you. He's traveling from one end of the country to the next. But as we talk about the University of Miami, and we talk about this big matchup, but this matchup has family implications when it comes to Notre Dame and it comes to University of Miami. You have two brothers that will be squaring off in this game to where this game is going to be spectacular for them. And I had a chance to talk to LJ, the defensive tackle, McIntosh, from the University of Miami. And as he said, he talked to his brother, Lil Dion, been talking trash all week. And as he told Dion, listen, we're not family this night. My family, I will be running out of the tunnel with. Your family, you will run out of the tunnel with. After this thing is over, then we will commence back to being family members. But right now, we're not family members, brother. And it's so ironic because the mom and dad is sitting on the University of Miami side. The siblings is sitting on Notre Dame side, because I'm quite sure a lot of that probably had to do with the way this ticket thing played out. I'm quite sure, you know, the mom, you got to put mom and dad, you got to put them in the better seats. And they was able to get that through the Dion, the McIntosh that plays for the University of Miami versus Dion McIntosh that played for Notre Dame. We'll put the siblings up a little higher than the family members. So when we look at this thing, man, that's going to be a matchup that between, imagine you're playing your brother. You're playing your brother in this thing, man, and it's going to be unbelievable. We're going to head to a quick commercial break. We're going to play Max Payne again, the U, it is what it is, and then we're going to come back as we continue to try to reach the playmaker as he is in the airport trying to get off the plane. And he's taking time out of his busy day to join us here on the Tony Sands Show. So stay tuned. If you want to call to talk to the playmaker, dial up in on the numbers, and we can get you in and get your questions to the playmaker, Michael Irvin.
Can it run? Can it catch? Can it throw? Are they you ready? Are they you ready? Do it got quick feet? Can it move? Can it go? Are they you ready? Are they you ready? Can it run? Can it catch?
What's going on, Playmaker? I know you're in the airport, and I know the connection is bad because so many people are trying to get here to Miami to enjoy this excitement.
Oh, my God.
It is
crazy,
I bet. It's crazy, man.
It is crazy, man. And then, you know, you put that on top of obviously some kind of explosion happened here at Orlando's airport. So I had, there was a lot of people on the plane saying they were going to Miami for the game. You know, so I just said, wait, let me go get in the car. I can get drive. Now, this is crazy. I'm getting down here for this game, and I'm scared to get on the plane anyway till y'all figure all of that out. Let them figure that out. I'll go by ground. I don't need to be by air right now so we figure that out.
Yeah, get that all settled up because I do want to be here. Mike, man, listen, everybody, man, I talked to a couple of guys everybody is coming in. The who of who list of University of Miami alum is coming to this game, man. What does this game mean to these guys? Do they understand what this means and what implications that this game here has?
Let me tell you something, Tony, man, and honestly, and I called Blake, the AD, the other day just to tell him how thankful I am, how happy I am, and how proud we all are, and how thankful we are to have him, and how proud I am of him to get us back to this game. You don't see many schools that have had the success that we've been able to enjoy, the peaks that we've been able to reach, and then experience some of the valleys that we have gone through lately. Ever. They don't ever get back to playing a game of this magnitude. And for that little small school, Miami, to raise back up, not to be back on the verge and really doing it again, really having an opportunity to do something just incredible. Man, I called last week and told him, I said, look, did you see the stands? Did you see the people in those stands last week? I appreciate the Miami and all the Miami people that came out, man. And I know this game is sold out. So it's just an incredible experience, man, for our boys to see that again. You know, see that again.
To be, listen, Mike, man, to be in that atmosphere last week, it was exciting. I felt like it was the when I went down with you, and not only with you, but to watch you play down there when I was in high school. That's what I felt when I was in that stadium.
Yeah, back to those days.
Yes.
To those days, man. And let me tell you, and that's what we're trying to get back to, the days where it was such a great connection with, with the fan base, with the city of Miami, and everything. Just a great connection, and we want to get back to that, man. I want to experience that again, get that back on tap, man, and put Miami back where it belongs.
And that's Mark Rick is, and I tell people all the time, you know, he made a change from Georgia to here. Kirby Smart made a move that way. I say both programs got what they needed. Both programs got what they needed to uplift their programs. I know Georgia was in a phase to where they was trying to, phase Mark Rick out. And at some time, as they say, we may outstay our welcome to where we go to a place and it adds life to our life. And I think this group of guys at the University of Miami has added life to Mark Rick. You can see a rejuvenating Mark Rick. He's home, and he's leading guys to what it, letting them, taking them from one spot, putting them in another spot. And I think that's even more to his credit that he's able to do that in a turnaround so fast.
Yeah, and it's home, like you said. You want to get out and go do things and create things and accomplish things. But ultimately, the greatest thing in the world is to be able to say, man, I accomplished this at home.
Yes.
So
yes.
At home with my people, there is no greater thing in the world that you can say or do than to say, I accomplished it at home. he's part of that family. And I think that's what the kids listen to. You know what I mean? We've had people come in and try to sell what the U is, and necessarily people don't gravitate towards it. But someone that lives in what the U is, these kids are obviously gravitating towards it.
And that they are, Mike. Just to be around those group of guys and just to hear their enthusiasm about, you know, what goes on. And when you see now, and I'm going to tell you something, and I know a lot of people, you know, didn't think that this turnover chain would turn over.
That's so cool.
It would turn over the way it did. Some people, when they first saw it, talking about, oh, here we go. Oh, that's that UM image. But now, everybody around the country, every college around the country is trying to find something to simulate to what Miami has. And it's not matching up. It is not matching up.
But that is cool, though, man. But that's what we're trying to say. That's what Miami is. We are the trailblazers. We set the tone. We say, this is how we're going to play. We bring a new fun to the game of football. You know what I mean? Right. And that's a great thing. It's the most incredible thing in the world. I love that part about it. I love that part about it. So, everywhere you go now, that's the first thing people want to talk about, that turnover set. Man, where am I? And I'm going to say this, too, now, Tony. Let's be real. I was telling somebody this the other day. Other people could have tried that, but it wouldn't have come off the same. It had to be done by us, you know, in Miami.
Yes.
That's
and then
what
you know
we are. You can't sell this kind of sweat. You either got to have it or you don't, and we happen to have it.
And, Mike, it also, you know, you got to understand that the chain is a Cuban link. So now it adds in the Hispanic culture of Miami.
Right.
It adds,
I did that piece for Miami, and it's one of the lines in the piece where it says we're diverse in culture, but we're proud of our roots, and we are diverse in culture. We're a melting pot of a lot of people coming together to call this place home. Some native, some have moved here, but it's a beautiful, beautiful melting pot of people. It really is. And you start winning and having that melting pot all come together, and the U raising all of that up, putting us back on the map like that, it's just an incredible feeling.
And it's been the talk of barbershops and beauty salons. You know, I own a beauty salon, and I'm in the barbershops constantly. And man, that is all you are. That's the whole topic in with women and with the men. It is driving. You know, if you want to know something in our community, you go to the barbershop or the beauty salon, and you're going to find out everything. If it's moving in there, then you got something. And it's moving around in both places. I was at the barbershop earlier, getting done up, and. That's all the guys was talking about. Man, are they truly back? Is the University of Miami back? I don't even have tickets. People saying, I don't have tickets, but I just want to be in the area. So they mean they want to be a part of whatever this is. They want to be a part of it. And when you hear that, like I say, it just brings me back to the days when you guys were playing. I see a lot of similarities in, and I told you that once before, in Warren Williams and the running back that we have now. And ironically, both of them wears number 24, and that's who we are right now leaning on, because Mark Walton is out, and he had a great game last week against Virginia Tech. One of his runs really broke the game open on a 35-yard run that he took to the house, and it broke it open, man. But like I said, Mike, to be in that atmosphere, man, it's unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
It was. I know it is. I know it was. I make my determination on if I can see a game or not, you know, played at night. Man, this game here is a night game. You know, do you know the stress that's put on me to go through all I'm going through to get here? And then to go to a night game and turn around, hop on an airplane, land in L.A. at 3, 4 in the morning and go straight to do a show. You know what I mean? Straight to do my show that comes on at 6 a.m. L.A. time. But this time is worth it. This time, it's a once-in-a-lifetime moment. I'm going to be there. I say, I don't care if I just get to see pre-game. I want to see it. I want to taste it. I want to smell it. I got to be there. You know what I mean? I want to go there. It's incredible. because we haven't had this, man. We haven't had this excitement and this intensity in a long time. And what's great about it is I want to see what it produces.
Yes.
You know, does it produce, when you get a taste of something like this, you can get a hunger to make sure that this is all you want. And that's what I wanted to do for these kids. I wanted to grab these kids and make them hunger for only these kinds of games.
And Mike, and you said you want to see what it produces. It is producing fruit beyond measures, because guys that were committed to other programs that at one point said that they wasn't coming to the University of Miami is not even on their map. These guys are visiting the University of Miami. And you're hearing a lot of things out in the community of guys talking about what they call flipping. And we're going to find out, because now they have what they call an early signing day, which is December 20th. So I'm looking, probably looking forward to Miami flipping. And as you say, the number one receiver in the state of Florida is staying home in Miami. He's staying home in Miami to play for the University of Miami. He understands the tradition of receivers that have come out of the University of Miami. And what a commitment that was at Florida State, Rescindo Lewis, who committed on my show. There's a possibility you might hear, there's rumbling in the community that he might change to the University of Miami. And Miami, next year's class of linebackers are unbelievable. They have probably the top linebacker class coming in to them next year. So it is producing what wins produce when it comes to the recruiting circuit, and that Mark Rick is doing. He's deep into the youth leagues. The youth programs love him. You hear them talking about the University of Miami. And, Mike, when you get in the stadium, you're going to see pretty much everyone from babies. I saw babies was in strollers with the chain on. They had their chain.
Yeah,
everybody is wearing a chain. Everybody's wearing a chain.
That is funny, man. That's funny, dog. The baby with a stroller.
Baby in a stroller had a chain on. So you know what this means. The tailgate out there at Hard Rock Stadium is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be probably so crowded that you can't even move around in the stadium and get it. But, Mike, let's spend a little bit, man. Let's talk about a little bit of the Dallas Cowboys. Our Cowboys are in the news, and, you know, we produce – we are the news. We produce news. We produce ratings. We see Zeke is, you know, back again suspended. Zeke is back again suspended. And our man is letting know, hey, wait a minute, hold on, what is going on here that he's suspended? How does this hurt the Cowboys, or does it hurt the Cowboys moving forward up until December when he gets back?
Oh, my God, yes. This hurts the Cowboys in a big way, man. You don't replace Zeke Elliott that easy. I don't care what anybody says. You know what I mean? It's just, this dude here is special and different. You know, you can get guys that can run for yards, Tony. You know, you get guys run for yards. But guys that run for touchdowns are different. Darren McFadden in 2015 had 1,089 yards, but he only had three touchdowns. Zeke, in 2016, he led the league with 1,600 yards, 15 touchdowns, and was on pace for 14 touchdowns this year. It's not the yards that count. It's the points that count. And you got to get the yards that leads the points. And that's what makes this kid so special, man. And you know, I don't believe you could just throw anybody back there now and say, okay, now let's go. I believe, you know, you're just going to have to take a combination of things for the Cowboys to stay up during these six games that he is out. I believe the offense now will have to convert to the pass, opening up the run for Alfred Morris as opposed to Zeke being the run game, opening up the pass for everybody else.
And, Mike, it's going to be and we hear now in the news, it's going to be an interesting thing to see, as we're saying, the Atlanta and the Cowboys meet each other in the matchup. And, you know, we got Arthur Blank and Jerry Posley not seeing eye to eye. That's going to be an interesting matchup to see how they shake hands. And it's going to even add more revenue to the television, because guess what? More people are going to want to watch what goes on, and it adds more to the Cowboys' value. And how is the league being affected by all this when it comes to revenue? How is it being affected? Is it hurting the viewers? Couldn't we see possibly a change at the head because of all this? How do you see this thing playing out?
There's a lot going on right now in the league, from this anthem protest and from that on to what we're dealing with and the owners having the disputes that they are having. It's just been a lot going on. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm anxious to see how it plays out, to be honest with you, because I have no idea with what I'm seeing, man, how this all play out. But let me tell you this. This is what happens when you get billionaire boys. They're all billionaire dudes. They're set in their ways now. Don't fool yourself. They're set in their ways. And they're going to do what they do. Everything they've done has yielded good fruit to them. So they get, you know, they have these kinds of disputes and everything. And understand this, they're businessmen. They'll work it out. It'll take the shoe to fall off Cinderella, but they'll work it out. Promise you they'll work it all out, because nobody's going to give up the cash cow that the NFL has been for any of them.
Man, listen, man, I know you're busy, and I thank you for taking time out your schedule to, as you take this journey from the West Coast to the East Coast in this short time, and then back on the West Coast in a matter of 48 hours, you'll be back on the West Coast on set on Saturday, man, on Sunday. But before I let you go, we see they're adding you into this thing with Tony Romo and Deion Sanders. Their ad, your name has popped up in this whole thing with Deion and Tony Romo. I heard Darren Wilson say, man, listen, this is what we call locker room talk. And if you don't have, if you can't dish it out, you know, in the locker room, everything goes in the locker room. Anything goes when it comes to cracking. If you can't handle this stuff, don't dish this kind of stuff out. But I'm seeing they have slowly tried to bring, I guess, you in it when it comes to and as Darren would say, you're dealing with two alpha males for real when it comes to those two.
Right, and I ain't got, hey man, I just, come on, man, y'all get on out of here with this mess. I ain't got time to mess with this mess, man. I ain't playing with this, man. I ain't got nothing to do with all this here, you know. Hey, yeah. I just think what Tony said was that Deion himself always said, what Deion always said, he always said himself that, you know, He got paid to cover. He didn't get paid to tackle. So I didn't think it would rise to this. But that's what social media does. Social media now doesn't allow you to determine what is news. It makes news as it sees fit now. And stuff like this tends to make news. And you know, it's funny to me, to tell you the truth, because I don't think it's much of anything, but it makes news.
Yes, sir. And Mike, listen, I know the Cowboys, so you got to put on, we got to go red again this week?
Yeah, black and red, black and red.
I'm trying to figure out, how do you find that many red suits with black in it or black with red in it?
Right, you just got to post that thing up, man. I got quite a few suits in there. But I am running out of red, and I wish to get on to another color. You know what I'm saying? I am running. Because we had Arizona, and then we had San Francisco, the Redskins, and the Chiefs. Now, come on, man. Now even Atlanta got that black and red. So, you know, I'm ready to get away from the red.
I could imagine, like you said, and if it was, if you look at the colors that you're wearing, that red is starting to pretty much become permanent on you. Every time somebody's going to see you, they're going to want to see red, because they've seen it so many weeks back to back, and it's putting pressure on your closet to come up with something creative outside of your red when it comes to your red and your black, man. Listen, I know tomorrow, we ain't wearing no suits tomorrow, bro. We're going to try to find us some chains to put on, because it's going to be jumping at the U. It's going to be jumping at the stadium down there. So everybody's going to be excited. You know, the U fans, it wouldn't be this game without seeing the playmaker in the building. Man, thank you for taking time out to join the Tony Sands Show. And each and every week, guys, here on the Tony Sands Show, you're going to get guests that are unbelievable. Last week, Mike, you know, I had Hawk. Hawk came on, and he was talking football, and he was talking life after football, and how him and his son are spending so much time together with life after football, and how that means so much to a man. And you're constantly talking about your dad movement, man. So thank you, man, for taking time out, and I'll see you at the U, because it's going down at the U. You got to be ready. We're going to leave out of here. It's going down. U fans, it is here. It is here. It's what we've been waiting on for a long time. It is upon us. And now it's time for us to take the reins. We are back. We're calling out here on the Tony Sands Show, man. Hey, Mike, I'll hit you up in a little bit after I get off the air, and let's see what we got for the U.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. That was, you're getting a chance to hear from the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, as he talked NFL and the state of the U. I call it the state of the U because that's exactly what it is, man. Listen, we're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show.